Well, we do greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Deeply humbled this morning. Deeply humbled, the mercy and grace of our Lord, allowing us to gather in this very special way this morning. It's a tremendous joy to my heart just to see each of you. Made me a bit emotional this morning, just the opportunity to be here. We sang a phrase of a song. Brother Mervin commented on it, that his providence is our defense, the one who lives and loves forever. And so we are not here by accident this morning. We are here providentially, each one of us. We are here by divine appointment, by the grace of God, by His mercy. Fellow pilgrims journeying through life, and it's a we didn't live 500 years ago. We live today. We're here today. We walk through life together. We have a lot of things in common. There's a diversity of amongst us here this morning, but we have many things in common. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity. So we welcome you in Jesus' name. We'd like to get into a message here this morning. It's a great joy and privilege to be here. Before we go, lest I forget, I'd like to bless Brother Lamar, Sister Joanna. I'd like to bless you this morning. I want to bless you. We have a lot of memories that come to my mind this morning. Probably would make me emotional to spend a lot of time on them, so we won't do that. But I would like to thank you this morning for your testimonies of faithfulness. I'd like to bless you this morning for your participation in the local church, your support. There's many things that I could bless you for this morning. I just name a few. And I'd like to bless your parents this morning. You stand here in a blessed place this morning because of decisions and choices that others have made for you. I'd like to bless your parents. But ultimately this morning we'd like to thank God. We want to thank God and give Him the glory. I'd like to thank Him this morning for salvation. Salvation that makes a godly wedding possible. Without salvation this morning there'd be no possibility of godly weddings. And so that encourages me this morning, and we'd like to bless the Lord for that. Maybe we could bow and pray together. I know we just did, but maybe we could just pray together. Heavenly Father, we invite your presence here this morning. I pray that you'd guide and direct my thoughts, Father, as I share here just for a few moments, Father. We'd like to just ask, Father, that you could be glorified in this day, and just ask for your peace and grace to rest upon each heart here. Thank you again for this opportunity. Thank you for the privilege of being here together with these dear people, all of them here, Father. We thank you for it this morning. Just ask your special blessing upon Brother Lamar, Sister Joanna here on their special wedding day. Father, would you grant them peace and a much hope and confidence as they join hands and embrace life together. So be with us here, Father, during this hour, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to read a few scriptures here at the beginning of this meditation. Several of them were already read. I think we will read them again and not make too much comment. But we'd like to start at the beginning. Amen. We'd like to start in Genesis chapter 2. We'll read just a brief passage here, a very familiar passage. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It says here, the word of God says here, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." We'll stop reading there. So here we have marriage. Marriage at creation. At the dawn of creation, as part of creation, at the conclusion of creation, God created marriage, and he brought Adam and Eve together there. And so we see something very beautiful here, perfect in design. It was flawless. It was a perfect design. It was by God, designed by God, and who could improve upon it? We'll make more comments on this passage later. Just wanted to read it here at the beginning of the message. We will read here in Ephesians 5. Hopefully we don't go too fast here. I don't want to... We will read here in Ephesians 5 as well. This was read this morning. Actually, maybe we won't. We will. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands," Ephesians 5:22, "as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, and that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Ephesians 5. So now we have one of the blessings that we have here as a group, I believe, is that we are very Bible literate. And so I can pick and choose some passages and know that everyone's filling in the blanks. So I'm thankful for that. That's something to be indeed thankful for. But we all know what happened after Genesis chapter 2, after that beautiful picture of marriage, after that beautiful picture that we see there, we know that the next chapter, things changed dramatically. Sin came into the world. Sin entered. The fall of man happened. And so we... we can reflect on that. There's a lot that could be said about that. But marriage was broken like everything else. And there are many sad accounts in the Old Testament of of what happened, of the brokenness of marriage. Now, there was marriage. Marriage continued. The institution continued, but it was very broken. There was a lot of, and as we read the accounts, we see many sad examples. But what we have here in Ephesians chapter 5, we don't see that. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, we have marriage restored. We have the picture here of marriage after salvation. We have the command here for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. That's again a possibility. In Ephesians 5 here, we have the picture of marriage restored, that a man can love his wife. That a wife can submit to her husband, and marriage can indeed be a beautiful thing through salvation. And I would like to say this morning that as in Genesis, we see that it was divine creation. We see again here in Ephesians chapter 5, this is a divine creation. This doesn't just happen. This is something that is done by God through His Spirit. It's salvation. Salvation comes into the home. And it becomes a beautiful, beautiful thing. It becomes so beautiful, in fact, that it is to resemble the relationship between Jesus Christ and His church. We'll speak on this more later. Paul says here, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So I give you this, and our brother shared on it this morning, but he said, I give you this beautiful picture and I tell you how this should be done. But I'm actually not talking about that. Maybe you understand that differently. I don't know. But that's what it seems he's saying. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Last evening, I was sitting here at the rehearsal. And there's just something about rehearsals that to me, they are just so awkward. I mean, I know they're necessary and all that. But they're just so awkward because they're not real. They're just not real. And we would go through this thing and then we walk back out the door and it's like everybody feels kind of awkward. I do anyway. Maybe I feel awkward for the ones in the rehearsal. We didn't really have one. But I'm not saying we shouldn't have rehearsals. I'm just saying they're a little awkward. But I was sitting there thinking last evening, and then Brother Solly shared the thoughts later. But I was sitting there thinking, watching the rehearsal, and I said, it's not real. But I thought, you know, tomorrow won't be the full reality either. Tomorrow won't be the full reality either. It's a real wedding and you'll be married, but it's not the full reality. Paul says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's a type. Marriage is a type. It's given to mankind. It's one of the ordinances. You know, the ordinances, as we observe them, we all know. We take communion. But it's a type, and we all know that. And we don't put our faith in the fact that we observe the ordinance. That's not where our faith lies. The type points to the reality. And so it is this morning. That's the burden. I don't know. It's a type given to mankind by which we can see into the eternal. By which we can see into the eternal. Eternal realities are manifested here today as we watch a husband and a man and wife join their hands and their hearts in a union, in the closest human relationship. In this type, we can see into the very heart and nature of God. Into the very heart and nature of our Heavenly Father. Into His very being. Of His desire to be intimately related to His creation. To spend eternity with them. To be with them. To know them. To love them. That they would experience His love. That they would be part of Him. And in this marriage today, we have the opportunity to look into eternal realities. Oh, it burns on my heart that in these last days, if I had to ask for a raise of hands this morning, of those of you that think we live in the last days, I believe I would get a pretty high percentage. We'd like to spend some time this morning on the reality, and then we'd like to come back to the type. We don't want to leave you out. Revelation 19. This was read this morning, some of this. Revelation 19. Now, I don't know. I trust this morning that we are Bible-believing people. I have full confidence of that. I don't doubt that. And so if we are Bible-believing people, we must surely believe that the things that the Apostle John saw here, we will one day see. We must surely believe that, lest we be unbelievers. The Word of God is true. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke arose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Alleluia, Amen, Alleluia. And the voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and all ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they that are which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Amen. We'll stop reading there. For a title this morning, I have this little meditation. The Bride Hath Made Herself Ready. The Bride Hath Made Herself Ready. We'd like to also talk about, Blessed are they that are called. So this morning, it's always amazes me that so many people would come out for a wedding. It blesses me. I am blessed by that. That we as a people group, we highly esteem marriage and weddings, and we enjoy them. I am so blessed by that. It blesses me. But the interesting thing is that weddings are just a beginning. The actual wedding is just the beginning. The actual wedding is not, Lamar and Joanna have prepared for this day and they have anticipated it, the wedding itself is not what they're after. They enjoy it. They're thankful that you came. They want you to be here and they're blessed by the day. But the wedding is not what they're after. It's the marriage. They're desiring to be married. The wedding is just an entrance. The wedding is just an entrance. In a wedding, there's a promise of a future. There's a promise of good things. There's hope of good things. There is a anticipation of growth. There's an anticipation of increase. The wedding is not it. The wedding is just the entrance. That's what we would all believe that. We would all testify of that, though it's very glorious. And I'd like to say this morning that the marriage supper of the Lamb is not the final event. The marriage supper of the Lamb is not the final event. The marriage supper of the Lamb is an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. As his beloved. As his bride. I think, this wedding, there's a lot of possibilities and there's a lot of dreams and visions and hopes and anticipations, and there should be. You have the liberty to go in marriage relationship as far as you can go. It's just the future is wide open to you. That in Christ you can experience a very blessed union. But it's limited. It's limited to your mortality. You can't legitimately hope for more than 50 or 60 or 70 years, give or take. You know that. You know that. It's a reality. The decline of health will happen. Mental capabilities can decrease. And so while there is many blessings and many that can go a long way, we know that it's limited by our mortality. Our mortality limits it. And we all know that. That hangs over all of us. We know that. But picture with me. Picture with me an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. Infinite. Ever-increasing beauty and holiness. Divine existence forever. We can't comprehend those things. My vocabulary is inadequate here. You can tell that. That's no secret. We can't grasp it. A place where it is holy, a place that is pure, a place that there is the delights of that place. The scripture gives us little pictures of it. The delights of that place, and we can't even comprehend the ones that are written. We can't even grasp them. But the scriptures reveal enough about Jesus Christ to make it very attractive, to say the least. To say the least. The marriage supper of the Lamb, the real thing, the event of the ages, the anticipation of all of creation. Time will stop for that event. You know, there's a lot of people that have come to your wedding, Lamar, but there's a lot more people that don't even know anything about it. Right? That's true. That shouldn't make you feel bad. But there's an event coming that time itself will stop for. Wall Street will shut down. Wars will cease. Wars will cease. All of creation will stand to attention. And I don't know the exact chronological order of the events. But I just know this, that you don't have to take time to prepare for it if you don't want to. But you will acknowledge it when it comes. We will surely acknowledge it when it comes. The bride hath made herself ready. I trust that Lamar and Joanna, you won't be offended if I use you as a little bit of an illustration here today. After all, you chose to be in the spotlight. So I think it's okay. But you know, the bride hath made herself ready. You know, I don't know all the details. I have a few thoughts here. I don't know all the details of how this worked for the two of you, but I have a few thoughts here. The bride hath made herself ready by proper attire, by putting on the garments of salvation. We read here about white robes, and so we'll try to break some of this down just a little bit. I'd like to say this morning that fallen man needs a turning of the heart. A turning of the heart. And we see that so well illustrated here this morning. Here's a young lady who grew up in a very secure home, a happy home, a home with loving parents and siblings, a home that with a full life, I believe, just lots of blessings, lots of good things going on. Typical home, probably with some of the general struggles and all that, but a beautiful a home that she experienced. Not necessarily any need, just satisfied living at home. That's the way that I saw Joanna. And so I don't know how this request happened. I don't know how it came. I don't know all the details. But I'm assuming that there was not an immediate excitement at the thought of all this change. I'm just assuming that. Maybe it was. Maybe it was. Maybe it happened really quick. But over the process of time, or maybe happened more or less quickly, the heart turned. There was a turning of the heart. The heart, away from siblings and parents and home toward Lamar. It had to have happened, or we wouldn't be here this morning. To make that type of commitment, to make that level of commitment, that I will leave everything that was familiar to me, and I will go home with this young man that I have only learned to know a short time ago. And I will commit myself to spend the rest of my life with him. A tremendous commitment. Isn't it amazing what love can do? Isn't it amazing what love can do? The bride hath made herself ready. I speak concerning Christ in the church. The heart must turn. The heart must turn toward Jesus. Brother Lamar is not interested this morning in a half-hearted bride. He would have canceled it. I know he would have. I know him too well. He is not interested in a half-hearted bride. He is interested in one who is all in. The heart must turn, beloved. For the bride to make herself ready, the heart must turn toward Jesus. He will not have half-heartedness. He won't. He won't have it. You know, all of us are born with a longing to know God. It's just in there somewhere. A longing to be right. A longing to know God and to know that I am right. To know that all of us are born with it. We know that. There's a longing in each one of us to be prepared for judgment. And we know there will be one. It's just born in us. Eternity is stamped on the heart. All of us know that judgment will come. And my life matters. All of us know that. It's written on the heart. We can block it out. We can live many years in blocking it out. We can live that way. We can order our lives. We can bring so many other things into our lives that we can push it aside. But deep down in the quiet of night, we know there's a God. And we need to know him. But we put off preparing. We put off preparing. We would want it. We desire it. But we put off preparing. It's called procrastination. We don't do it in business. We don't do it in many other things that are important to us. We deal with the issues that arise. We clean up the house when it needs it. We do all those things that are important to us. But we don't get right with God. And the reason is real simple. It's not important to us. We want to. We desire it. But we don't desire it above all else. But the Bible says that the bride hath made herself ready. The bride hath made herself ready. There's a people that prepare themselves, and that can be us this morning. I trust it is for many of us. I'm not doubting that. I'm not doubting that at all. When Joanna's heart turned, everything changed. Everything changed. Wedding plans began to happen, to formulate in the mind, even before they were talked about, I'm sure. What will this be like? I'm starting to be attracted to this idea. Wedding plans begin to happen. The focus shifted, increasingly so. There was a new priority at the top of the list. You know that. We all know that. We know how it works. There's a new priority. There's something else. All of the other things that were important before were still on the list. They just weren't at the top anymore. They just weren't at the top anymore. And Brother Dan could probably, maybe that was frustrating at times. Sometimes it can be. not so much so, but. A date was set. And life changed dramatically for the Graber household, but particularly for Joanna's life. Her life began to revolve around the appointed time, waiting for that. We heard about it this morning, the calendar being set, finally ticking to zero. Beloved, this morning, the bride hath made herself ready. The heart must turn. The heart must turn to Jesus Christ. There needs to be a repentance. Why do I think that I would want to spend eternity with someone that I don't even know? With someone that I haven't bothered to learn to know? Why would I want to spend eternity with them? What makes me think that I want to go there? What in my life, what are the things that I can point to in my life that point to that I actually want to be there? The bride hath made herself ready. The Lord Jesus Christ, He invites us. Come. Come unto me. Come unto me. He doesn't stand here with His hands out saying, I don't want you, and I don't want you, and I don't want you. He says, come. Come. Come and learn of me. Learn of me. Learn of me. You'll find out how beautiful I am. You'll find out all manner of glorious realities about me that would make you desire to be my bride. And fully turn the heart to eternal realities. The bride hath made herself ready. It was voluntary. Lamar asked, will you be my bride? Will you be my bride? I would want you to be my bride. He didn't command. There's no coercion here this morning. I am confident of that. No coercion. Completely voluntary. Free will, beloved, is an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. Free will is an awesome thing. It's almost frightening to me when I ponder the realities of free will. It is almost frightening to me that fully in these hands is the choice of my eternal destiny. It wasn't that way. Sin had come into the world. We were fallen. It was without remedy. We were without hope and without God in the world. But it's not that way anymore. Jesus Christ has died for us. He has shed His blood on the cross. God has reconciled His own heart towards mankind. The offense is nailed to the cross. And it puts the decision fully in these hands. But the bride hath made herself ready. The bride hath made herself ready. Oh, we must choose. We are invited. It's a thought that should sober us. It should bring us to our knees that Jesus Christ says, come. Just come. If you will just come. You can come. We're invited. The Spirit of God draws. The Spirit of God draws us. But we must choose. A wedding garment. A wedding garment. It says here in verse 8 that to her was granted. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. To her there was opportunity was made that she should be arrayed in fine linen. The appropriate attire was provided. The wedding garment is provided. That which is necessary to be prepared has been provided. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. You know, we know the parable, the marriage supper. We won't turn to that. But this parable, the marriage supper, where the king had made a marriage supper for his son, and he invited all these people, and some didn't come, and then he invited more people, and all the people came, the people from the poor people, I think, it's, so it's the way it describes it there. But when he came in and surveyed across this vast group of people, as he looked across them, his eyes fell on someone who had not on a wedding garment. Had not on a wedding garment. And I when I was younger, I couldn't understand that. I struggled to make sense of that. I mean, this man wanted to be there. He desired to be there. He even showed up. But he refused to get ready to be there. And everything was provided that he needed. And he refused to get ready. And he was cast out. To her was granted that she would wash their robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7, we'll read a passage here. Very familiar passage. John saw here. Revelation 7, verse 9, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, and before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne in their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of a great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." To the bride that made herself ready, to her it was granted to wear white robes. To wash their robes, to make them white. Doesn't make sense to us, does it? To dip them in blood and make them white. But the stains of sin are different than the stains of this world. The stains of sin are different. It takes blood. It takes blood to wash away the stains of sin. You know, when the stains are sin, there's only one solution. God has provided a remedy for sin through the blood of His Son. We have two problems. We have two problems, beloved. One is that we are stained with sin, and we know it. It's written on our conscience. It hinders us. The feeling of guilt and of sin, it is with us. The other problem that we have is that we are inherently selfish, and so we continue to sin. And though we can speak of forgiveness, somehow in the back of our mind, we kind of know that we'll probably do it again. And I'd like to say to us today that the blood and the salvation of Jesus Christ is the answer to both. It is the answer to both. The blood has the power to wash away the stain of sin in the conscience, and take it away. Take it away. The blood was shed, beloved, that if we will look to Jesus Christ, that if we will call upon Him and through faith in His blood, allow Him to wash away sin. Take it away. As far as the east is from the west, past sins gone forever. Make us free. Stand fully reconciled to God. That's a possibility to each one of us today. There's another possibility. There's another possibility, and it's a package. I'm saying it in two pieces here, but it's a package that if we will humble ourselves and repent and yield ourselves to Jesus Christ, He will give us a new heart and change our desires, and lay the axe to the root of the old self-life, and cut off the sin. And cut the sin, cut the fountain. Break the fountain. Break the fountain of sin, beloved, and make us free. We know the Scriptures. It says in Titus that you should be blameless and harmless the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Romans 3:23, I remember when this verse became a reality to me, and I remember typing it out, and Brother Dan would probably remember seeing this hanging on the wall of my office. But I remember when this became a reality to me, Romans 3:23, being justified freely. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And I remember when the reality of that dawned upon my heart, that my sins were no longer on my account, but that someone else had died to make an atonement for my soul, and that I was free. That I was free. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The bride hath made herself ready. Romans 5:9, be much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. The bride hath made herself ready by washing in the blood, as it were by faith, coming to the cross of Jesus Christ and laying down my burden of sin and allowing Him to take it and wash me of it and take away the guilt of it from my account. Forgiven. In full repentance. Oh, beloved, it's a glorious salvation. Let us avail ourselves this morning of salvation. In repentance, asking God to fill us with His Spirit. He will give us a new heart. That was prophesied in Ezekiel. I will give them a new heart. I will put a new spirit within them. And they shall keep my commandments and do them. A new heart, a new spirit, a change. Oh, beloved, it's glorious salvation. We can prepare to be the bride. Oh, I tell you this morning, there's a deception in the world. There's a deception in the world. There's many deceptions in the world. But one of those deceptions is that I should have hope. That I should have hope that on the last minute, I will say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, I tell you this morning that today is the day of salvation. That is a vain hope. It will never do. If we know today that our heart is not right with God and we refuse to get ready to meet Him and we decide that I will wait, I will put it off, I will wait until another day in hopes that I will have another opportunity, I tell you it's a vain hope. It may happen, likely not. Today, God is present. He's the I Am. He says, today is the day of salvation. Hi! Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come. Well, we read here in verse 9, it says, blessed are they which are called. Blessed are they which are called. This word called, we used to use that. That used to be part of our language. We used to use that word. We get a call. We used it instead of invitation. Do you have a call to the wedding? I don't know where that came from. We used to use that. But it means invited. It means more than invited. I believe it means it's a stronger word than invited. It's a personal word. Called. I'm not Calvinistic. I don't adhere to those doctrines and the doctrines that just some are called. I don't believe that this morning. That some are called, others are not called. I don't believe that this morning. The scriptures tell me that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's what the scripture says. You are personally invited. You are personally invited by the word of God. The word of God says that the Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever will may come. And whosoever hears, let him come. And take of the water of life freely. I didn't get that all correct. Whoever will may come. But it's more personal than that. The Word of God says, come. And the Holy Spirit convicts us that we should come. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts. You know, even this morning, if my heart is saying, you know, if the sky were to open this morning and the trumpets would sound, you know, I love this picture, this picture of the bride coming up here to meet the groom. The scriptures tell us that the trumpet's going to sound, the trumpet of the Lord's going to sound, and the angels are going to gather the bride from the four corners of the earth, and they're going to come to meet the bridegroom. And I love that picture. But then we know this morning that if even within the hour, there would be a sound of a trumpet. And as we would think about that, what is my heart telling me this morning? Is my heart telling me that, you know, all is not well? Well, I'd like to say to you this morning, that is a personal invitation from the Spirit of God. To reject that invitation is to tell God, I am not interested in participating. Oh, it's a serious matter. It's a serious matter. The invitation, I'd like to say this morning that the invitation is not a normal wedding invitation. It is not like the invitation that you received here to this wedding. You received an invitation to come to this wedding. You received an invitation to come and be a guest in this wedding. And there, everyone is very thankful that you came, but you were not invited by Brother Lamar to come and be the bride. Someone else had that invitation. There was only one person here that had that invitation. And this invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, beloved, is not an invitation to be a guest. It's an invitation to be the bride. It's an invitation to be the bride. And the bride will make herself ready. The bride will make herself ready. It's a different story to go to a wedding prepared to be a guest, isn't it? I can just slip in. I can just sit in my seat. I can participate as much as I can of everything that's there. But there's nothing required of me. I don't have to do anything. I can just kind of be there. I can enjoy it. I tell you this morning that that's not the way it is here. The invitation is to be part of the bride. It's for those who love Him. It's for those who desire to be part of Him, who desire to spend eternity with Him and be part of His beloved. It's for those. The invitation is to be part of the bride. Well, this morning, the bride hath made herself ready. You know, this morning, I don't know where we're all here. We're young, we're old, we're in different places in life. But this morning, there is a standing invitation. While it is cold today, there's an invitation. We can repent. We can have a godly sorrow over our sin and our wickedness and our lukewarmness and our coldness. We can have a godly sorrow over it, and we can accept God. I didn't mean to say that. We can come to Him. We can ask Him to cleanse us of it. We can receive His forgiveness. The blood was shed for it. This salvation was purchased by the death of His Son. We can make a full surrender. We can yield ourselves to God. We can ask Him for the Holy Ghost and walk in the power of God. It's available to everyone. There is no one excluded. Oh, it's a glorious thing. It's such a delight to me this morning that I don't have to stand up here and say, oh, you know, it's for some, not for all. Oh, that would be tragedy to me. That would be a grief. I would refuse to preach. But this morning, it's for all. And it's a glorious salvation. It's effective. It delivers from sin. It makes us ready to meet God. It gives us peace. We can lay our head on our pillow at night and be at peace with God and know that if He returns before I die in the morning, I can go to be with Him forever. (Clears throat) We'd like to come back to the type for a few minutes, if we can. A few words for you, Lamar and Joanna. Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one. And that's true. That's very true, actually. I rejoice in that fact, two are better than one. But it is not necessarily less complicated, nor does life get necessarily that much easier. But two are better than one. Much more can be accomplished. We can experience and be blessed by many things in being married than we can in being unmarried. But the scripture says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. And so I have an illustration this morning, a very simple illustration. I'd like to just present to you and share a few thoughts. Now this is no new illustration. This is as old as the book of Ecclesiastes. But we have here a threefold cord. And I'd like to share with you, Lamar and Joanna, that in Genesis chapter 2, there were three beings in the marriage. There was Adam and Eve, and God was there. There were three in the marriage. It was a threefold cord. A threefold cord is very strong. It is not easily torn. It's not easily damaged. It's very strong. And the scripture says that it was very good. God said it was very good. We know what happened. There was a fall. The sin came into the world. And if I had a more accurate illustration, this would be two little strands and one big one. If I had a better illustration, I was not able to come up with that. But things changed in the Garden of Eden. Things changed when sin entered. You get the picture? We know what happened. Adam and Eve remained married. But things had drastically changed. Adam and Eve were still married, but God no longer was there in the way that he had been before. God still cared for them. God still provided for them. You get the picture. But things were not as they had been before. The power was not there. The power was lacking. There came strife in the home. One son killed the other. Things that were not part of the original design began to happen. And because God was separated from them. Adam and Eve were still together. They raised children. But sin reigned. There was anger. Frustration came into that relationship. Eventually murder. Life became hard. And God was far away. God was far away. And sadly, that's the picture of many marriages today. That's the picture of many marriages today. Two people are together. They do life together. But somehow the power of God is not there. Ephesians 5 is a picture of marriage after salvation. Ephesians 5 is a picture of a husband who loves his wife as Christ loved the church. It's a picture of and I can't put this back together quite like it was because it would take too long, so you'll just have to bear with me. But the wife is able to respect her husband, even in perhaps his imperfections. There's the ability, the power of God is there to honor and respect him because he is the head of the home. He finds the power and grace to love his wife, even in the unlovable moments, even in the times when it's not so easy, when there's sickness and there's maybe more challenges than what can be handled on our own. The picture in Ephesians 5 is that God is back. God is again in the marriage. It is again a threefold cord. That's the picture. It's that salvation in a home. Joanna, Lamar, today, by the grace of God, you start in salvation. And I delight, it brings such a joy to my heart, because our own marriage didn't start that way. Our own marriage started with us being two people that had come together and not having had reconciled to God. And so we were on our own, and it didn't go as well as it could have. But this morning, you stand here through faith and repentance, through faith in Jesus Christ, you stand united with God. And when you walk out these doors, this in a few moments here, Lord willing, you will be as a threefold cord, a marriage that has tremendous potential and strength. It's a beautiful thing. It's powerful. You will have all of heaven is for you, for your prosperity and your well-being. There is only one thing that will weaken that marriage. And you know what it is. It's that which will cause God to withdraw. Sin. Sin will pull it apart. You have but one responsibility. Now, there's many practical things that could be talked about. And hopefully some of you others, as the day goes by, you can share with Joanna and Lamar and Joanna many of the practical things that marriage consists of, and you can bless them in that way. I don't have time for all that this morning with the burden that the Lord laid on my heart. I will give you one primary key. Sin will cause God to withdraw from your marriage. Sin will weaken your marriage. So life becomes very simple. Fear God. Keep the sin now. God will bless you. God is for you. You can have a strong marriage. Is very durable. Marriage is a very strong, very, very strong thing. I don't think we should ever take it for granted. Sin will cause God to draw back. The remaining two strands will be very weak. Very much weakened. You might stay together. You might stay together, but it will be a powerless marriage. It'll be a powerless marriage. If you abide in Christ and keep the sin out, all the details will work out. All the details will work out. So I have a few things here for you in closing. I would like to say one more thing about that invitation that we were talking about. I'd like to say one more thing, that Lamar's proposal to Joanna was based on one thing. It was based on love. It was based on a desire to have her for his bride. It was based on that. It was based on that a desire. And the invitation that comes from heaven this morning is based on love. It is based on the love of God. It's based on God's desire to save. God's desire to draw us out of our sin and to redeem us and bring us back to him. It's love-based. If we could get that. When that began to dawn on Joanna's heart, love began to flow back. Really? This fine young man desires that I would be his wife? Really? I am sure that she thought of many of her imperfections, and she thought of many of her maybe her inabilities, and questioned whether this would actually work or not because of her own abilities. Well, this morning, that invitation is based on love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I don't think we need to tell you this morning the alternative is to perish. That's reality. Lamar, Joanna. 1 Peter 3, it tells us to be heirs together of the grace of life. Do life together. Live in the fear of God. love Him together, serve Him together, worship God together, heirs together of the grace of life. I've got just a short list here. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has promised if we seek first the kingdom, He'll give us the necessary things. Love the church. It'll bless your home. Love the church. Do life together. Enjoy each other. Enjoy each other. Don't take each other for granted. Don't take life is uncertain. Don't take each other for granted. That's easy to do. It's easy to do in the routines of life. It's easy to get to where we take each other for granted. Make a commitment to not do that. Help each other to keep oil in your lamps. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep yourselves in the will of God. Where He sends you, that's where you go. Amen. I know you have that commitment. God bless you. Isaiah 12, I was reading this lately. Isaiah 12, it says, with joy, draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Do it together. With joy, draw waters out of the wells of salvation. They are endless. They are always fresh. They are always new. There is always more. You know, with joy. Do it with joy. Life will bring its valleys. That's true. Life will bring its valleys. But if we abide in Christ through the valleys, they bring out true beauty. It's one of the great secrets. That's just one of the great secrets. And it's sometimes hard for us to see. But going through the valleys brings out true beauty. And it'll do that for you. So God bless you. We'd like to turn the time over here.
Praise God for what we just witnessed and heard in our hearts together today here in Joanna and Lamar's special day. It is a joy to be gathered here this morning with each one of you. And I was just thinking of the day there's an authority structure that has changed and is changing as we speak. There's a new home that is being created here. There's a change of authority. This morning, Lamar and Joanna walked out of their homes and they will be a family. They will be a couple in a few minutes here. And they will have a new home, a new temporary home. At 17835 Scipio Road. But I was thinking, Lamar and Joanna, as you go from this day, only God knows what He has in His divine plan for both of you. So I just want to encourage you both to walk by faith. There will be times when Lamar, as a leader of the home, you will think in your mind, which way shall we go? I just want to encourage you, walk by faith. Get on your knees before God as a couple. He will guide and lead you. I have been very blessed with what I have seen in your life in these recent years. The other day in our kitchen, we have a photo album, and I saw a picture of Lamar when he was about this high back in 2008. And I just thought of the fine young man that he has become and the choices that he has made since then. He had a special kindred, you know, connection there with our children. Both of them had the mother tongue of Pennsylvania Dutch, and so that was an instant bond to them. And so I learned to know them a little better than I normally would have. And so that's with fond memories. I remember you and Levon and Matthew coming over. And so I just want to encourage you that God knows the path that He has already laid out for you as a couple. And just walk by faith. That's the only way to walk. And if the Lord tarries, you'll have many opportunities as a couple to forgive each other and to bear, you know, be forbearing. I saw this quote this morning. It says, "Being forgiven is not a right to be demanded, but is a gift of grace to be received with humility." Being forgiven is not a right to be demanded, but a gift of grace to be received with humility. I have wanted to read here in Mark chapter 10 a few verses in light of marriage and the ceremony here. "And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again as he was wont. He taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, 'Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?' Tempting him. And he answered and said unto them, 'What did Moses command you?' And they said, 'Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away.' And Jesus answered and said unto them, 'For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then are they no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder.' And in the house his disciples ask him again of this same matter. And he saith unto them, 'Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and shall be married to another, she committeth adultery.'" So this, you could say that Jesus is very clear here on his plan for marriage, that it's till death do us part. I thank the Lord for the 31 years that my wife and I have been together, and it is a blessing, and it was the greatest blessing of my life. And I was thinking of two hearts in love. They need no words. There's times when you'll be sitting together, as your hearts are knit together, you can just sit together and there will be not need to be any words. But I was also going to encourage you to, Peter has an exhortation for us. He said in 1 Peter 4, 1, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." So I think as we were heard about the end times and that's upon us, I just want to encourage you, arm yourself to suffer. It's the way of the cross. It's the way home. We shouldn't expect an easy life. We shouldn't expect an easy life as we journey through this life. So Lamar and Joanna, God has heard your prayers, and the time has come. So if you can at this time can rise and come forward. Both of you, do you believe holy matrimony is an ordinance created and established by our Father in heaven, sanctioned by our Lord Jesus Christ, and is a covenant to be entered into with the fear of God?
Yes.
Yes.
To both of you, do you testify that you are free from all other relationships, believing holy matrimony is a covenant that is to be entered into by one man and one woman, and that only death can annul this sacred covenant?
Yes.
Yes.
You will discover that to live together as husband and wife will require the exercise of patience, forgiveness, and forbearance. Establish from the beginning your family altar, which will deepen your love for Christ and for each other. Be careful to look beyond yourselves to the cause of Christ and His church. You may join hands. Brother Lamar, standing by your side is she who is to be your wedded wife. Her joy and happiness will depend a lot on your character and conduct. Your constant love and courtesy will give her lasting joy. Do you now, in the presence of God and these witnesses, take Joanna, the sister, by your side? To be your wedded wife, to love and cherish, to provide and care for in health, in sickness, in prosperity, and in adversity, to share with her the joys and sorrows of life, to exercise patience, kindness, forgiveness, and forbearance towards her, and to live with her in peace as becomes a faithful Christian husband. And forsaking all others, keep yourself only for her as long as you both shall live.
Yes.
Sister Joanna, standing by your side is he who is to be your wedded husband. His joy and fulfillment will depend a lot on your character and conduct. In your love and respect, he will find inspiration and strength. Do you now, in the presence of God and these witnesses, take Lamar, the brother by your side, to be your wedded husband, to love and cherish in health and in sickness, in prosperity and in adversity, to share with him the joys and sorrows of life, to exercise patience, kindness, forgiveness, and forbearance towards him, and live with him in peace as becomes a faithful Christian wife, and forsaking all others to keep yourself only for him as long as you both shall live.
Yes.
Inasmuch as you have made these vows before God and these witnesses, And in accordance with the laws of God, I pronounce you husband, wife, in the Lord. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob will be with you and bless this union abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Go forth as husband and wife. Be faithful. Love each other. Live in peace. Fear God and keep His commandments and expand His kingdom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Lord, I pray for this dear young couple. I pray that you would prosper them. You know the path that you have ordained before the foundation of the world that they could walk in. You know what you have planned for them and your purposes that you have brought them into this earth. Lord, I pray that if you would grant them children, that their children would grow up and be soldiers of the cross, children in the kingdom of God, pillars in the local church. I pray that you would give Lamar wisdom in leadership in the home. I pray that you would give Joanna a submissive spirit to follow and to bless her husband all the days of their life. I thank you for them. I pray that you would help them to continue to bless their parents as they start a new home and journey on, that this would be done by faith. Give them faith for the journey and courage as they move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Parents can come forward for prayer.
Bless them, Lord, in this life. Here they stand as man and wife, as they are now, not two but one. Bless them through thy Holy Son. O dear Lord, send. Hear them, Lord, when they pray. Answer them in thine own way. See them, good Lord, on bended knee. Hear, oh, hear their every plea. Use them, Lord,
brothers and sisters, friends and family, with joy I present to you Mr. and Mrs. Lamar Shirk.
Tell of His glory among all the nations, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Splendor and majesty go out before Him, how awesome are all of His. new song. Let us sing to him all of the earth. Sing praise to his name, salvation proclaim as we sing to the Lord a new song. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all people below. Give him the glory and honor and praise. Let your gifts to the Lord overflow. Sing to the Lord, sing a new song. Let us sing to him all of the earth. Sing praise to his name, salvation proclaim as we sing to the Lord a new song. Say to the nations, the Lord reigns forever, the heavens rejoice and the oceans will roar. Let all the fields and the forests be joyful, his judgments are true evermore. Sing to the Lord, sing a new song. Let us sing to him all of the earth. Sing praise to his name, salvation proclaim as we sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song.